We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
That we would direct Michael Rose to make sure that the league, that they should have, we're not having night games. We've had a killing, a shooting, all those things in these parks. And we have spent, you know, to the tune of every year, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 when they say we're not helping, that we pay for security that they don't do in the city of Pensacola, that they don't do anywhere, that this board has paid Sheriff Simmons to provide for security. Quite frankly, a league split because people didn't want to come to Bellevue, and people were killed and people were shot. And so, I mean, we can't prevent everything. I mean, you go to a high school game, you can't walk from one side to another one. We have security issues, police issues. I mean, cops, police officers are charging sometimes $40 an hour, but depends on where they're going. They'll charge $70 an hour. You know, if they go to a safe place, it's $40. If they feel like it's an unsafe park, they'll charge $70. I know because I'm engaged, and so it's hard to sustain when you're having to pay $70 an hour to have a kid safe.
So Commissioner Lumen May at the most recent Escambia County Commission meeting talking about sports safety cost and the sheriff's office. Since we have the sheriff here with us in studio, Sheriff Chip Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Sir, I just wanted to give you a chance to, I don't know, respond, clarify, address, however you want. You know, you hadn't heard the clip before, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about it since he's talking about your agency.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure there's anything really to explain. It's always been the case where police officers or sheriff's deputies, that they, on off duty, they can work for, a bar or a complex or something like that, and it's off duty. And then, or they can work, like you see the highway patrol and some state officers that are working roadways. You know, they do that on their off duty because, quite frankly, we don't have the manpower to man every ballpark or every, every establishment that wants extra security. So if you want extra security, you can hire a deputy.
You do have the manpower. You don't have the budget to pay them.
Because the
ones doing the work, you literally have the, but you have to pay them overtime. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm thinking there's so many ball games going on.
Right.
Throughout the county, especially the youth league ball games, baseball games, basketball games. We do not have the manpower to staff every single one of those, plus answer the calls for service. So what we do is we allow our deputies to work off duty, and that supplements obviously the patrol. So we don't have, if there's a call for service at a ballpark, say, then our deputy that's answering 911 calls in the county, they don't have to break and go to that call. It helps everyone, really. And it's always been the case where we don't force a deputy to work off duty. So you have to make it worth their while. You have to pay them a certain amount of money. And that's been the case for 50 years or so.
Aren't set by you guys. Those rates are set by the marketplace.
Well, yeah, what the market bears. But okay. Yes, they are.
But the deputy, the minimum opt in or not, like they say yes or no, and if everybody's saying no to an event, then you might have to raise the pay for that or whatever.
Yeah, at the sheriff's office, we have it's people that work in off duty, and then they'll put out this job that's available, and anyone wants it, they can get it. Sometimes they look at the job and they decide they don't want it. Mm. It's difficult. It requires two or three deputies, whatever it takes. I say difficult. It's busier. It's a busier job. And then so they have to raise the rate to entice someone to work it. But again, that's the way it is on holidays. That's the way it is on New Year's Eve. That's the way it has always been.
Is his assessment of the Bellevue and the dangers, particularly in that location at those games, is, you know, I know we still don't play night games anymore, right? We've gone to all day games now because of some of these problems. But is that a problem? A unique problem?
Well, I don't know if it's a unique problem. I think that anytime you have people that gather for sporting events or any event, then you're going to need, I would suggest you have extra security. You consider security. It depends on the nature of the game, or you just have inviting anyone to come to the game. I heard that on that clip that you spoke about, you know, there are people getting killed. Technically, there was one person killed a couple of years ago. But it is something that we pay attention to. This past Saturday, we had our portable cameras at Bellevue, I believe, at Brent. So we had them at two locations. We do place our
– The trailers.
Preventative trailers.
Yeah, got it.
The mobile camera platforms that we have. So we have placed them at locations. And we work with the Parks and Recreation – Escambia County and determine what their schedule looks like and when certain games are. I know as a park, I used to be the park president for Inslee football.
And so we knew
that the mini mites or the mites, the 5-year-olds to the 10, 12-year-olds, probably not going to be that big a crowd. But we also knew that the night game, which is the junior level game, the 13, 14-year-olds at the time, and I'm sure it's about the same, just before you get to high school. Those games are like Friday night football games. They're very well attended, and unfortunately some people get there and they drink all day and they cause a problem. And we knew that, so we hired additional security just to make sure everyone's safe. And that's the life that we live right now, whether it's at the mall, whether it's at a movie theater, no matter where it is. I think we have to consider safety of the people that are attending.
We had a couple of, I think pretty horrid stories. One involved a guy who, I guess, a home invasion against a 79-year-old woman and a sexual assault involved in all of this. And I sometimes hate to talk about these. I mean, I always hate to talk about these things, but they are things that happen in our community, right?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to our deputies that doggedly worked and investigated this particular case. In this case, we don't like to talk about these things, but the crime was committed, and this piece of crap that did it, he is in jail right now, and hopefully never gets out of jail. There was the event took place, and then later on, this guy went to a grocery store and ended up stealing something, and the deputy responded. Immediately recognized the individual from the description of the sexual battery, and put two and two together, and then they tied up some loose ends and ended up charging this individual with that crime.
So good police work, which is we always appreciate. I hate it when women, old people, and kids. These are the stories that just frustrate me to no end. But you had in Cantonment, you had a couple arrested for child neglect.
Yeah, we went there because we were helping. I think it was they have warrants on him from somewhere in Alabama. And so we went to this house, and when we went to the house, we observed just some deplorable conditions that children are living in. I think it was described as disarray and filthy diapers, invisible urine and feces scattered on the floor. It looked like there was if I recall correctly, there was a bathtub. It looked like it had not been used in a while, indicating that the children likely had not been bathed in a while. Mm. There was discarded food containers strewn about. There was evidence of not just evidence, but roaches and
flies
insects
and
large flies in different rooms. As much as we don't want to talk about it, as much as we hate to think that children are living in these types of conditions, there's something reassuring that these guys went to jail.
Yeah.
And there's pictures of them on various social media platforms. And I invite you to take a look at what child abuse looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, they will have their day in court. They're all innocent until proven guilty. But I have the unique perspective of many times talking to the deputies that have to endure this. Sometimes I see the body cameras, the footage, reluctantly so in many cases.
Yeah.
But I see what I see. And again, they will have their day in court, but that doesn't mean I can't give my opinion on the type of person it takes to treat children like this.
And if you arrest one, they're not the only ones. And you had another case not that long ago. There's going to be more of these. To me, it's a reminder that the foster care system needs foster parents. We need people to adopt. We need, if there aren't people to take in troubled kids, and these are going to be troubled kids, I mean, that what are other alternative is there? So, that whole system needs help too.
Volunteers. Right. There's
lots
a lot
of
going on here. I mean, how are thank God for schools, so the kids can potentially get out of that environment. Many times they can get a warm meal, and they can socialize with other kids, and hopefully they can grow up and not repeat this cycle.
It's so hard to, if you grew up in an even halfway normal family, it's so hard to think about what some kids experience and, what they need and be considerate and gracious and pray for. I mean, all the things, and just to be available, and to think about the social services that really do help. We think sometimes about the excesses of some busybody neighbor who intrudes on somebody who's not really doing anything wrong. But sometimes the busybody neighbor calls because there's a child neglect case going on.
Absolutely.
And saves the kids from a horrible situation.
Yeah, I don't think that we thank Child Protective Services enough.
Agreed.
I know there's a lot of criticism throughout the country on why didn't they notice this, why didn't they notice that. There are a lot of cases that we get called by Child Protective Services. We get called to a house, and then we find out there's already a case on them, and they have a background, and they have removed children or they're about to remove children. They do, in my opinion, they do all that they can.
With their scarce resources and scarce personnel,
again, we need to continue to fund them as well, because we're talking about children.
you and I had talked previously about the Glock switch, which is a little piece of device that turns it's specifically designed for the Glock gun, handgun, that turns a semi-automatic into a fully automatic pistol. And I had asked you at the time, are these prevalent in Escambia County? And there's now a case that's come back that we had, I think, talked about before, these guys who were dealing in the Glock switches here locally. It's become a federal case, but it's about a year-old case. Have we seen very many of these things in the intervening time?
This is the only one I'm aware of. Okay. I say the only one. This is one of very, very few that I'm aware of. We have done a couple search warrants, and whenever we find a gun that has the switch in it that makes it a machine gun, basically, they come to me and tell me because they know that I'm interested in that sort of thing because I want to know if we're seeing this sort of thing. But the case you're talking about, we arrested two people initially, and now they're going to, I guess, we're going to federal prison, I think, for 3 years, 4 years, something like that. But they were actually dealing in. They had multiple Glocks with that switch in it, and they were dealing back and forth, and I'm assuming with other people too. We just didn't catch all of them. But fortunately, it's rare to see that around here. But I will tell you that we mentioned this before that we are working very well with ATF and with DEA and with ICE, and we're working very well with our federal partners. And I have to include the U.S. Attorney's Office because they're really stepping up with their prosecution. I will tell you, in the past, they haven't accepted or what they call adopt. They haven't adopted as many cases as they are now. So there seems to be a good working relationship with the U.S. Attorney's Office, not just with the local law enforcement, the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, which obviously is a big player in that, but also with their interaction with the state attorney's office, and they're determining whether they take it to a state court or they take it to a federal court, what's the best for the community.
Venue for the prosecution, right. I had wanted to ask you, we were talking earlier this hour, I was talking about the raw recruiting potential, the 18 to 22-year-olds that we're manufacturing as a society, and I have concerns because they are the key to the sailors and the soldiers and the airmen. They're going to fight any potential war and discourage war. The new CNO was talking about how the sailors are the key resource. I know, and when I said that to you off the air, you said, yep, that's the same way. My deputies are my key resource, right? It's not the gun, it's not the Tahoe, it's not the technology, it's the deputy. But my concern is, look, I know everybody thinks that their kids are messed up. You know, the next generation is always the next generation. But what are you seeing? You're on the front lines. You're seeing new recruits. Are you seeing as many capable as when you were coming up, less capable, more capable? What's your – do you need to train them how to be people, or are they coming to you prepared to be law enforcement officers?
So I'm an eternal optimist, right? I want to, if it's not great, let's make it great.
Yeah.
If it's good, let's make it a little bit better. So I can tell you that we do the Blazer Academy, and we interact with many, many 13, 14-year-old boys and girls. And I can tell you that the future is still bright, that we're not doomed. I can tell you, though, that in today's society where everyone's looking at a phone and they're communicating through text, they're not talking to each other, law enforcement is still a people business. You still have to get out. You still have to talk to someone. You still have to be able to de-escalate a situation. So there is that. I mean, we understand that. But I can tell you that because we have our own academy, I can see them every day, every week. In the past, when we didn't have our academy, we didn't see them until they got out. They already been trained for almost a year. In our situation, we can see that I can drive by the office and I can see them running up the hill over there right next to the Boys and Girls Club, right next to our office. And I shake my head, glad I'm not the one to have them run up that hill in the heat. But I know that they're working hard. I think that the fact that they're putting themselves through this show that they have a desire to be a law enforcement officer, and specifically with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. So if you're listening, the quality of recruit that we're getting at the sheriff's office, I would say, is second to none. We can tell by the scores on the state exams that they were still the highest in the state of Florida. And I can tell you that the individuals that come to work for us, the 18 cadet age, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and certainly the 21 and up age group that we are putting out there on the street is as good as it's ever been. They're as qualified, as well-trained, efficient, and we're as capable as we have ever been right here in Escambia County.
Last question for you, Sheriff. Grady Judd, your favorite sheriff in Florida, the showiest sheriff in Florida.
He's a friend of mine.
He's a friend. He showed up at a drug seizure press conference wearing the drip, as he called it, the gold chains and watches.
They still call it drip? I don't know. I guess
Grady Judd called it drip. That makes me think probably nobody else does anymore. But you know, he said, "We got your drip." Should we expect to see Sheriff Simmons showing up in the drug dealer's gold chains and Rolex and shirt and sports car in a future press conference?
We all have our style, and you know, I'm probably not. Yeah, I'm not going to guarantee it though. You know, if we seize and it's a bona fide bad guy, it's someone that I know the proceeds are from them. You know, we seize cars a lot. We have a Corvette that's all wrapped up in sheriff's office green because we seized it from a felon. So I'm not going to make any guarantees. I'll keep people guessing on what I'm going to show up at a press conference
that's
wearing.
Funny. You know what it makes me think is you should have put a sign on the side of the vet that says this used to belong to a drug dealer.
Yeah, I didn't want to mess up the aesthetic there. I mean, really, we talked about that in the past.
Put some spinners on there, lift it.
Charlie Johnson had an old Corvette that he put stickers on it. Yeah. My assumption is that people know that I'm not going to buy a Corvette. Put out there. You know, Tahoes are still.
So you think people are very well informed?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Well, every time we go out in the public and would they see the Corvette? I guess it's not the latest version of the Corvette.
Right.
Older.
It's like two versions older.
Two down, yeah. It's still a good looking car.
It is.
And when they come up to me, they fully aware that it's a seized car.
Good.
They just want to know what was seized from and for and what we're going to wrap it next and all. It's just a conversation piece mainly.
Sheriff Simmons, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for showing up. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.